Good evening.
Good evening, Walker.
I believe you're the first to arrive.
Yeah.
Hello.
Has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening. Hello.
Hello. We will begin.
Okay.
We are studying the Zohar Sulam commentary from Parasha Vayera, section 28, part 2, Pasuk 274, and we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kudsha barichu ishkinte bitkilu urchimu utkilu urchimu. L'yachta, L'shem,
has joined.
Yudhei bavavhe, b'yichud ashalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayehino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu k'nenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu k'nenehu. Pasuk 274. Asara shema han gelifan behur menuta. Demalka eser yidun. Besalkin v'chushban tage shivin kavavnin melahate l'kol sitar nafke migoy shemahan de'iglif raza de'ayin shemahan de'malakaya Deidun Raza Dishmaya. The translation. Ten names are engraved by the king's authority. The ten names refer to the ten Sefirot. There are ten Sefirot as explained in the Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Formation. 10, exactly, not 9 or 11. Nevertheless, they also add up to a greater number, which is a reference to the 72 names. This can be explained further. These 70 colors that glow in all directions derive from these names, that is, from the 72 names. And these 70 colors were engraved and formed into the secret of the 70 names of the angels, which are the secret of the heavens. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the verse is clear as written. Hashem created this office at that. This statement is a warning in the use of the 72 names inappropriately. This is my opinion. Commentary by Bracha.
Randomly.
Verse 270.
Has joined.
Verse 274 is a reminder to all of mankind on the potentiality to be close to our Creator while traveling in the world of Asiya, also informing us that we are His children, for His names are engraved upon us from the 10 Sephirot within our spiritual energetic makeup, within our physical body systems. Acquiring this understanding comes through the Sephirot blueprint that's found in the Kabbalah knowledge, the books of Kabbalah, reminding us on whom created us and the potential spiritual task that is ours to accomplish in the world of action, the world of Asiya, in the physical world. If we desire, also our connection with our Creator is essential during this progressive process. Our destiny can only be achieved with our Creator's help in the Asiya world of action. Note the words used to this awareness, the King's authority, 10 names engraved, Sefer Yetzirah, 70 colors that glows in all directions, and the secret of the angels. When seeking this renewal with our Creator, we will attach to the world of Yetzirah, the second world above Asiya. These two worlds are connected interactively and integrating vibrationally without any division blockages between them, unless from ourselves when we sin. Any sin against Torah law will create an emotional barrier or blockage unless corrected from the teshuvah process to remove these created barriers. The world of Yetzirah is where the angels of Hashem dwell. This is hinting that the angels are assisting our Creator by governing, protecting, directing Hashem's human children existing in the Asiya world. Note the words used in this passage, 70 names of the angels and the secret of the heavens. Questions, comments, thoughts? Everybody's quiet.
Hello. I just have a comment, I believe. I like the ideas from your commentary. You were pointing out the negative when those who walk in Torah, there's consequences, right? But also the reminder that our Creator made both, you know, good and evil. And we know that the evil's intention is to see to it that we do not accomplish that relationship with our Creator, nor accomplish the destiny of the work that He has created us for particular moments in the living that we do in this world through our tikkun olam work. And also, too, I heard a statement given that the thought is given that if that God may be incomplete because when He made this world, right, because He doesn't always know everything. I heard that mentioned by a rabbi, quite disturbed by it. But on the other hand, I thought to myself, wait a minute. No, our Creator is omnipotent, you know, omnipresent. And I don't think it's really referring that our Creator is incomplete. But I understand through the sage of studies that I've done, our Creator is not incomplete. We are. And He left the world to see to it that we were completed through this process of our growth as soul beings. That's what I've understood. Anyway, but that was my thoughts as you were reading.
One thing you said that it's a minor point, but it's really rather major.
Okay, go and ahead.
The negative system does not try to stop us from achieving our goal. It lengthens the process to achieve our goal. And that's a significant difference. It doesn't want us to win. It just wants us to take longer. And so it erects blockages but it only has permission to erect blockages when we have done actions that merit the effect of those blockages. And you are right, my commentary was expressing a negative aspect, and your commentary was more associated with the positive aspect. But that's really the issue. What is our goal? Are we fighting the negative? Or are we running after the positive? That is one of the aspects of this verse. It's a decision we need to make.
Okay. It amazes me, Hanok, how challenging the Yetzer Hara is in the process of the tikkun work that we do in regards to if you accept the belief system that we had previous lives, because many times when I understand we could be healing and cleansing previous lifetimes for the last three that we've experienced, or maybe up to the first one, the one that we're presently in. But it's amazing how, and I do feel this way deeply, that our Creator doesn't really want to stumble us completely. He wants us to succeed, but yet we have to still acquire the necessary tools spiritually, you know, in the spiritual practices. And the main one, the main focus, according to the sages, is the study of Torah. Once you have that study intermingled with your prayer life, as well as recognizing how to govern your walk with that faith walk, the emunah, the betachon levels of growing knowledge, I think that also allows us the opportunity to leave the dark system's influence, because we've already tasted what was negative. And does not our Creator on one level want us to be able to discern, and through that discernment of the polarities that we experience of opposites, that through that polarity it will enhance our understanding and of the great goodness of our Creator as we come to stand in awe and acquire this incredible love that has not been always on the earth. Only a few, from what I understand, the Zedekins, when they've reached that level of understanding for themselves, that they proceed on their path. But again, they're no different than what King David had to do in facing their greatest enemy. And our greatest enemy is the Yetzer Hara, especially knowing that its goal is to defeat us. But I like the idea of also you including, because I think it could be both ways. I like the idea that you've included to lengthen out the process. And that's what's overwhelming, to know that we could be stumbled, but it could be our own selves recognizing how we're not refining our character traits to the point that, not that we're comfortable in this world, but we find that assurance, who we really are. Because when we come to this world, we are just engrossed with all kinds of identities, starting with the family unit we came from. And depending on the dysfunctionality that we've had to experience, and thank goodness, and I'm grateful for this, the knowledge of what the Western world has achieved through science, but also which has been confirmed by Kabbalah, which has known this information, but now it's more available to give us that opportunity so we feel that not all is lost. So seeing and being encompassing the wider, expansive part, even though the internal part of our life is the key to how we proceed. I mean, that's just my understanding, but also my own personal walk as well. Anyway, just wanted to add on. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody else have any comments? Questions?
I had a call from the Jewish Federation, and so I missed the class. I'll just have to listen to the recording.
Okay. Well, we can go on to verse 275.
Okay.
Ve'inun Mikael, Gabriel, Raphael, Nuriel, Tamas, Kadumiel, Malkiel, Tadikiel, Patach, Tadiel, Tumiel, Tasadiel, Tere, Tsuriel, Raziel, Yufiel, Yofiel, Segol, Situ, Taria, Kazariel, Kazariel, Tatariel, Lameel, Kirik, Azikiel, Rahitiel, Idashiel, Sheva, Shemael, Barachiel, Ahiel, Cholam, Aniel, Lechadiel, Mechaniel, Shuruk, Mshemishael, Rechiviel, Kamishiel, Shuruk, Shemariel, Rachatiel, Tarishiel. In case you didn't connect to the various names that are in this verse, they're all names of angels, and they're categorized with respect to a vowel. And that's what we're going to read in the English. And they are Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Nuriel, Chamatz, which is a vowel, Kadumiel, Malkiel, Tzadkiel, Patach, which is a vowel, Pidael, Tumiel, Chazdiel, Tseri, which is a vowel, Tsuriel, Raziel, Yofiel, which is a segol, which is a vowel, Stu, Tiria, Gazriel, Batriel, Lamael, Chirik, which is a vowel, Chazkiel, Rachatiel, Adshiel, Sheva, which is a vowel, Shimael, Barchiel, Achiel, Olam, which is a vowel, Taniel, Vahadiel, Machniel, Shiruk, which is a vowel, Shamshiel, Rehaviel, Tamshiel, Shiruk, which is a vowel, and a duplication of the previous list called Melafum, Shemariel, Rehatiel, and Tarshiel. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the verse is clear as written. There are seven vowels listing 33 names. Students of Kabbalah need to know these numbers. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I do have a comment, most likely. In regards to the angels, or even a question afterwards, but anyway, in regards to the angels representing vowels, I think it's fascinating that it's a proven fact through Tesla, this beautiful scientist in the early 1920s, who had proved that everything was energy, vibration, and frequency. And it's amazing how when we were children learning our vowels, you know, the sounds of our vowels and combinations, it was amazing how just the sound of a vibration could actually be strummed, or to me it's like affecting the frequency level of the energies in the earth and the earth that we exist in. That's the one thought I was thinking. But my question is this, in regards to the dark side and as well as the side that encourages us, you know, through our relationship with Hashem, with the use of the angels available to us. Can you explain more about what does our dark angels also part of this process? And if so, what do they do to defeat us when it's vibrational frequencies here?
The simple answer to your question is they rearrange the sequence of the letters. Everything is letters, which means everything is sound. Everything is vibration. And so when we say a word, and let's just limit it to the Hebrew language for now. If you say a word in the Hebrew language, that word has spelling. It has letters in a sequence. That word is the thing. It's not a word separate from the thing. It is the thing. It's the inner essence of the thing. It's like DNA is a human being. We don't think it's a human being because we need to see a body. We need to see something that's there. But the DNA sequence is the human being. The words that are expressed, the Hebrew language, when you say a word, daber means a word. When you say a word, you are creating that essence. What is the meaning of a word? What is the essence of a word? What is the word? There's no difference between any of those statements. Satan creates blockages just by rearranging the sequences of the words. I heard Rabbi Berg from the Kabbalah Center explain it very simply. When you eat food, you are ingesting vibrations. When you ingest those vibrations, your body then creates nutrients from those vibrations by essentially rearranging the sequences of the letters and the vowels as well. But essentially, why do you gain weight? Why do you get fat? Excuse my language. You get fat because one letter was rearranged in that sequence. We don't think in terms of rearranging it. In the study of Kabbalah, we call it permuting the word, permuting the letters. But we don't really even understand what we're doing when we're permutating the letters. If you take a word of four letters, you have 120 different sequences that can come from that. Those 120 different sequences are another words. They're creating things. The Creator, as we learn in the first chapter of Genesis, the Creator said, "Let there be light." And there was light. There was no process. In our world, we have a process. I have a thought, let there be light. I have to walk across the room and turn on the light switch. That's the difference between God and me, between God and other human beings. Process. If we could eliminate the process, we would eliminate Satan. If we could eliminate the process, we could eliminate the negative system. But what would we have if we eliminated the negative system? We would have no children. Why would we have no children? Because the negative system, the left column of the tree of life, is what gives us the passion to procreate. That's why the human being needs to learn to love the process. But in the process, there's room for the blockages. We create the blockages when we mispronounce the words. We create the blockages when we rearrange the letters. But the purpose of the blockages is not to defeat us, not to cause us to lose, just to lengthen the process. I know I answered your last question, but I'm not sure if there was other questions you were asking.
Well, there is, but I don't think we have time, so I'll have to lay it for another time.
All right.
Thank you. I enjoyed the insight as well as the enlightenment today. Very beautiful. Thank you, Hanok.
You're welcome. Would anybody else like to make a comment? We have a few minutes, a couple of minutes.
I'd like to make a comment.
Go ahead, Brandy.
I want to thank you for your insight today on this passage. It was kind of right up my alley. I really understood what you were saying. I thank you for that.
You're very welcome. And now I will bring up the negative aspect. If there's an adage from the Kabbalah, and I've heard it directly from Rabbi Berg frequently, because I would say, I understand. And he'd say, if you think you understand, you're just at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to know, my second name is Miss I Don't Know Where I Am.
You're precious, Brandy.
Thank you. Thank you. You be blessed, too.
Always remember, Brandy, if you don't know where you are, then you're certainly where you began.
Okay. Some of the angels' names that you mentioned tonight sounded very familiar. At least four of them when I say the bedtime Shema, it seems like they are in there.
Like, they are.
Well, okay, well, I just wanted to be sure I was hearing right.
They are, but the thing to notice about the names is they always have the name of God attached to them.
Right.
Why is that? The answer to that question is because that's where the gas comes from. The name of the angel has no power unless Hashem gives his name to it. Sometimes he adds the word El, sometimes he adds Yudke Vavke, sometimes he adds Shaddai. So all of these different names, different aspects he adds to the name of an angel. But the name of the angel without that name of God, number one, it is expressing what is the message that that angel is working with. What task was that angel given? But the power to produce that task comes from Hashem, the name that's attached to it. Come in. How are you doing?
I didn't talk to Rick yet.
Yeah.
Back.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Now, we are out of time, so I apologize.
No problem. Thanks, Hanuk. It was a great
okay.
night.
Okay.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.